Welcome to It's a Good Life with Brian Buffini, founder of America's largest business coaching company. Here's a short classic cut from one of our all-time favorite episodes.
Top of the morning to you. We have an incredibly special guest for you today. He's retired Naval Captain Charles J. Plum. Decorated veteran Captain Plum flew 74 successful missions over Vietnam, and 5 days before he was supposed to return home, his plane was shot down, and he spent nearly 6 years in a Vietnamese prison of war camp. His story is incredible. It's recounted in the book I'm No Hero. I am so excited to have Captain Plum on the show today. I'm so excited to expose you to a man who says he's not a hero, but if Captain Plum isn't a hero, I don't know who is. So, Charlie Plum, I want to welcome you to the show.
Brian, it's my pleasure and honor to be with you. I appreciate you and all your listeners.
We're going to dive right in. You flew 74 successful missions. You're 5 days away from coming home. Tell us what happened a month later on that 75th mission.
Well, it was another big airstrike close to Hanoi. At the time, Hanoi was the most heavily defended city in the world, was Hanoi, North Vietnam. And we were flying right into it. And so that day, that close to that city, were missiles all over the sky. And so I jinked this way and jinked that way, and I didn't even see the one that came up my tail and blew us out of the sky. So I ejected, my co-pilot ejected, and our parachutes opened, and we came floating down over enemy territory.
You know you're heading into something bad, right? You know you're close to Hanoi. You've heard stories, I'm sure, of other pilots. And now you know something is coming. You know that nothing pleasant is waiting for you when you land on the ground.
It's a fact. I bowed my head and said a prayer for my new bride, hoping that she would understand this because I wasn't coming home for a while. I surrendered, not something a fighter pilot necessarily is trained to do.
Tell us what it was like. I mean, you were a prisoner of war.
The military came and put me in a Jeep and hauled me into the Wallo prison camp that we, the POWs, designated as the Hanoi Hilton. The big challenge, I think, one of the big, not just the torture, I was tortured for 2 days and then tossed into this little 8-foot by 8-foot prison cell. And the challenge began with just absolutely nothing to do. We were in jail cells. It wasn't like a World War II Hogan's Hero compound where you've got a volleyball and a, you know, and you can walk around and play games with the boys. Some guys were in solitary confinement for 4.5 years, just in a prison cell, no books, no window to look out, no TV, telephone, nothing.
Would you ever leave the cell during the day?
No, but the good news is when you have that opportunity to sit still for nearly 6 years, you go back through your mind and you learn an awful lot about yourself.
You know, I'm trying to get my head around it. I think about 2,103 days. I would love to know what you learned about yourself over the course of 2,000 days.
You know, I think the biggest thing I learned about myself was that regardless of what is around me, I still can make choices about my response to the things around me. I had a great childhood, and I had a great coach who told me one time that it was after a losing season, a basketball game, and I'm like 14 years old, and I'm wandering off from to the locker room, and he comes up from behind. This guy was a veteran, and I said, "Sorry, coach, I guess this team's just a bunch of losers." And he said something I shall never forget. He said, "Son, whether you think you're a loser or whether you think you're a winner, you're right." He said, "You'll always have a choice, regardless of how bad things get. You will always have a choice, and don't give up the choice." He said, "You give up your choice by blaming other people for your problems and feeling sorry for yourself, and you go into this pity party. And what happens is you restrict all of the choices you might have just by your attitude." So that was probably the first thing I learned about myself, was the fact that I still have self-determination. I can still, make my way regardless. And then I think the second thing that I learned was that any adversity in life has some kind of an opportunity within. That lots of times the biggest opportunities in life are wrapped up in the package that looks like a big-time problem. And one of my mantras is this: adversity is a terrible thing to waste.
Mm-hmm.
You waste adversity by, first of all, denying the reality of it. You go into the woe is me mode, and then you start blaming other people for the problem. And when you do, you give them control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Those things and many, many more are the things that you learn when you sit still for a while.
Well, what did you do? What were the daily routines that you leaned into to kind of keep yourself going?
We didn't have a clock, but that little spot on my floor would remind me of the things that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And exercise is really important to us. And so first thing in the morning, you know, we'd get up and do push-ups and sit-ups and running in place. And in typical fighter pilot mantra, we would challenge each other for number of push-ups, sit-ups, that kind of thing. And we do that for about an hour first thing in the morning. And then the first meal would come. Now, it was two bowls of rice, and sometimes you'd have a little soup, a little broth. But then after the meal, the guards would usually take their siesta, and we would start communicating with each other. We had all kinds of ways to communicate. It was amazing how creative we got with our communication. We found that most of the Vietnamese had tuberculosis, and they were always coughing and spitting. We decided, hey, we can get by with that too. So we can't actually whisper a word outside your cell, but you go around coughing and spitting, and everybody could hear you. We designated a code where various letters of the alphabet would be represented by combinations of coughs, sneezes, spits, or wheezes. So you get up in the morning, hear the guys next door go, that means good morning, how are you? The communication would end about roughly 2 in the afternoon when the second meal came, and then the evening was filled with showtime. If you had a roommate or two or three roommates, a guy would tell about a movie that he had seen before he was shot down. It got very elaborate.
So 6 years, you're in the 8x8, the prison between your ears. That's really the one that you worked on the most. And I think there's a lot of people in the marketplace today that are struggling. They have total freedom, and yet they're in a prison in their mind. Maybe you could talk to that for a few minutes.
Sure. It's one of the first things that I figured out, because I was mad, obviously, at the guards that tortured me. I was mad at the president for starting this political war. And I found one of the first guys I communicated with was passing along poetry and patriotic quotes and Bible verses. And one of the quotes that he passed me, which really turned me around, was this one. Acid does more harm in the vessel it's stored than on the subject it's poured. What that meant to me was I can harbor all of this hate and discontent within my body, and it's not hurting the enemy. In fact, they're pretty happy about it. And so I need to get rid of this. You know, I need to forgive, as my mother had taught me. And so about 3 months into it, I learned that the prison was not the 8 feet between the walls. It was the 8 inches between my ears. I was in this mental box, feeling sorry for myself and this pity party, woe is me. And I would talk to myself, hey, grab your big boy pants, you know, pull them up, man. Let's get on with this war. Now, the other part of that also was that it was really great to have good leadership in that prison camp. They turned it around. In fact, Stockdale sent the message down, we are not on the defensive. We are warriors, and we will pursue this war till our last dying breath.
Wow.
Now, I'm 20. 24-year-old lieutenant junior grade in the military. I'm looking at the four walls of this little 8-foot by 8-foot cell, and I think, wait a minute, I'm not on the defensive. It was that kind of leadership, I think, that turned it around. And a study was done 5 years ago of all the combatants, anyone that goes to the Vietnam War, 30.6% had post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Of the prisoners of war, 4% of us have PTSD, and it's mostly the guys that were shot down near the end of the war and were only prisoners for a few weeks or a month or two. The psychiatrists and psychologists believe that it was primarily because of the leadership we had in turning this whole thing around. And the team that we put together with that leadership and the cohesiveness of those guys in that prison camp.
That's amazing. That's a lesson for us all. And also all this reflection and all these routines and all this stuff you guys did every single day. You were living your life even though you had everything that makes life good taken away from you. You've been influencing people for a long time. You've been inspiring people for a long time with your books and your talks and your message. And so it's been such a great privilege to have you on the show today. And I know that so many people are going to be inspired to maybe get out of that 8-inch prison cell between all of our ears, to break out into proper routines, to keep our choices alive, and to make decisions where we can see adversity as an opportunity, get off the pity pot, and go pursue the good life. So thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a real privilege.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this quick cut. Head to the show notes to listen to the full episode. If you'd like to elevate your business to achieve your goals, talk to one of our experts on a free business consultation. Visit itsagoodlife.com/BC to schedule yours today.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.